Shay Castle is the owner and publisher of Boulder Beat News, where she covers local government and politics. Every couple of weeks, she shares what's happening with issues before the Boulder City Council. Shay, this past week's City Council meeting was a study session. Nothing was decided, but members discussed for the first time what is called the Racial Equity Plan, the idea being the city needs a plan to combat systemic racism. Can you set the stage for how this came about, why such a plan is viewed as a necessity?
So the city of Boulder has been doing work on racial equity for some time, at least back until 2005. And there have been a number of inciting incidents that have kind of renewed interest in the work, including the release of a couple reports over the years that police are stopping Black and brown residents and ticketing them and jailing them at higher proportions than white residents. There was a report in 2018 from the Daily Camera about racism and residents of color feeling less welcome in the city. The city had the year before hired its first diversity officer, and she left under mysterious circumstances. We still don't know why. And then in 2019, which is the most recent inciting incident, Naropa student Zaid Atkinson was confronted by armed officers while he picked up garbage outside his home in Boulder. That sparked a lot of protests and calls for change. And in December 2019, the city council passed an updated racial equity resolution stating their commitment to looking at city services, policies, and programs for possible things that are driving racial inequity in the city.
And so what do they think the racial equity plan will do? I mean, how will it be, I guess, utilized across the city?
There are a number of ways that the racial equity plan will be utilized because there are many components to the plan, one of which is training, of course. Staff and city council has gone through and will be going through a number of trainings related to racism, implicit bias, systemic racism, institutional racism, how to identify it and possibly correct it. Supervisors in the city have been required to go through that, and that's available for all city employees. And then there is the racial equity assessment tool, which is, I believe, still being developed. But the plan is that this assessment, which is really a set of guiding questions, will drive every decision that the city makes. So the budget is going to go through this assessment. You know, department decisions, policy decisions will be kind of run through this lens of asking, does this further racial inequity, with the idea that we'll be able to root out policies that do contribute to racial inequity in the city.
You tweeted on Tuesday night that while covering the meeting virtually, that some council members want to toss out any housing land use policies related to the racial equity plan because they feel it will divide the community. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So the draft of the plan was released, and after going over some history in Boulder, it gave some examples of policies that may drive racial inequity or that are driving racial inequity in the city of Boulder. And the examples that were given on one page were all related to housing and land use. An excellent example of this is our open space. So Boulder is very proud of its open space program. It taxes itself to buy land in and around the city to preserve. So that, you know, we protect nature, and also it has created sort of a green belt around the city to prevent urban sprawl. And this is a sales tax that funds open space. So that's naturally regressive in that people of lower incomes pay a higher proportion of their incomes. Everyone pays sales tax on things they need to live. But if you make $30,000 a year, you're going to be paying more of your income on sales tax than you are if you make $100,000 a year. So it's a regressive tax. And everyone enjoys the benefits of open space. Open space is open to all. However, study after study shows that whiter and wealthier people tend to access the outdoors more than lower income and people of color. And there's this added benefit to open space for homeowners because it does limit the supply of housing, and homeowners or people who live in the city of Boulder are more likely to live closer to open space. And if you are fortunate enough to own a home in Boulder, which, disclosure, I am, you have this added benefit of a limited housing supply, which drives up your property value. So you've got a regressively funded program, which benefits all but delivers an extra added benefit to wealthy homeowners. And so that's an example of something that drives racial inequity. since Black and brown people were, by and large, shut out of home ownership historically in the United States, and so they hadn't really benefited from that additional wealth. And some council members took issue with this because there were just a few examples listed, and they were all focused on housing costs. And their argument was there are other policies in the city that likely drive inequity. Some of them we don't know yet because we haven't been through that assessment process.
The racial equity plan, this was a study session. When may we see it come before the council as a full agenda item with a chance for public comment?
The racial equity plan, as of now, is scheduled for adoption, which will include a public hearing on February 16th.
So this Tuesday, I don't know how many more meetings they have before the end of the year, given the holidays, but I'm sure you know what's ahead on Tuesday night.
December 15th will be the last council meeting before a two-week holiday break, for which I'm sure we are all grateful. And the agenda is not quite as full as it might be, but it'll still be a long meeting. So we've got two public hearings. One is on midterm updates to the Boulder Valley Comprehensive Plan, which is really Boulder's planning Bible. It lays out, you know, the goals and policies for the next few years. These midterm updates aren't anything really huge. They're mostly related to small land use changes. But there may be some discussion of the planning reserve, which is an area outside the city that we have always intended to add into the city for eventual expansion. The second public hearing is on elections and petitions, which obviously we've seen a lot of interest around this year. Council is scheduled to change city ordinances to reflect that charter amendment petitions will follow state guidelines rather than city rules, which means that petitioners will have less time to gather signatures and they'll have to gather more signatures. And part of that same item is adopting rules to allow for online petitioning, which our new system will debut in January for the upcoming 2021 elections.
Thank you for joining us again this Monday, Shay, to bring us up to date on what's ahead for City Council.
And that's journalist Shay Castle, who's been covering news in the Boulder area for 8 years now. She is the owner and publisher of Boulder Beat News, and you can follow her there at Boulder Beat News.